Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, final hour here. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today as we are live from Gillette Stadium. Not a victory Monday, but some people calling it a moral victory Monday.
Nope.
Not Andy Hart.
Nope. What are we talking about?
Not even a moral victory.
Moral victories come against good teams. Teams like you're surprised you hung with them.
Seahawks are 2-0.
Do you think the Seahawks are one of the better teams in the NFL?
I think they're a playoff team.
They might be.
I think they are. Sure. I'm saying I think they are.
Flat out, I think they will be in the playoffs.
I think they will make the playoffs.
I think you're out of your mind to say that after 2 weeks.
I don't know if I picked them to, but I think that now. I do think that now.
You change everything
after 2 weeks. I like their defense. I like their coach. I like their offense. I mean, there's a lot to like about that team. That's a team that could be going places.
I think there's a lot to like about that team. And maybe some of the circumstances of that division. The Rams maybe aren't as good, and they already have injuries.
Yeah.
The 49ers are already dealing with multiple injuries. Maybe this is a year where Seattle stays healthy and gets there. But I just think moral victory is if you go to San Francisco and lose in overtime by
a field goal,
absolutely a moral victory. You host Seattle in your home opener at 1-0, with them being 1-0, neither coach having coached more than one game in the NFL. You lead in the fourth quarter. And you're calling that a moral victory? I think you could more likely call it a gag job.
Yeah, you could. I think
is it more moral victory or gag job?
It was a winnable game. I think people
either gag job or moral victory.
But for one or the other, I'd say moral victory because I expected them to get their ass kicked. That's why I expected Seattle to win that game by two scores.
I think you were the only one.
Well, fine, but I mean I was at least being consistent with my original pick from the start of the season, which was that they were going to lose that game. I only had them winning three games, and that Seattle game was not one of them. And I didn't change my mind after Cincinnati. I thought that maybe the Cincinnati game was a little bit catching a team off guard. I didn't think Seattle would be caught off guard like that. They weren't. They're a more talented team, and they were able to make plays when you couldn't at the end of the game, throwing the ball and stopping the run.
You were just wrong a lot because they didn't blow them out. The Patriots could have, should have won. I was actually the one who was right for the first time in quite some time. I said it was going to be a field goal game. I took the points, the 3.5 points with the Patriots, and I thought the difference might be you were due to not get some breaks. And if you listen to Patriots fans, that's why you lost the game. You didn't get a couple breaks on penalties. Mm-hmm. Difference in the game.
Sure.
Andy Hart, right again.
A miss is as good as a mile when it comes to the actual final score. And I did have them losing the game. I thought they'd lose by more, and they didn't. They hung around, and that's why I lean more towards moral victory. I didn't expect them to compete in that game.
Moral victory.
That's why I lean more towards that than gag job. You think it was a gag job?
Yeah, I think it was a gag job. I think it's a game you should have won. You put yourself in position to win at home, and you lost it. You made mistakes. You kind of kicked it away. Blocked kicks, sack. You made significant mistakes that lost that game. Even the pass interference. I don't hate it. It's a competitive penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But you very much contributed to the Seattle Seahawks winning that game. So I will not. Moral victories, A, come against better teams, and B, don't come when you blow a lead to blow the game.
Fair enough. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones here. AJ is in Dover, I believe, with a thought on the Patriots. Hi, AJ.
AJ just hung up.
What about his cousin Ben?
Yeah, let's go to Joe, who has a thought on the offensive and defensive line.
Joe also is.
Everybody's hanging up on
the
nice job.
All right,
seconds.
Well, I'm just looking here.
We got
here.
David,
I'm
Matt, and Mark.
David, Matt, and Mark. I do not see that on the call screen document. Let's do a little roulette then. I don't even know what the topics are. I don't know where these people are from. So why don't you just pot up somebody's thing?
All right, let's go Mark. Mark wants to talk about Pop Douglas.
All right, Mark, what's up?
Mark. We need to talk about, guys, why, what's happening?
How are you? Nothing.
So we need to talk about why Pop Douglas is not targeted once in this game. I mean, when you have an offensive line that doesn't have tackles, you need to run bunch formations, you need to run crossers and slants. It's very simple, and I don't know why AVP doesn't understand that.
Good question, and I appreciate the passion. It seems like he's pretty fired up about that.
He should be.
Listen, so is Pop Douglas. Pop Douglas didn't want to talk to the media. He was throwing some shade, I think, I would say, at the coaching staff, right? Maybe a little bit of Brissett. I don't know exactly how to interpret all that. But after the game, if you missed this, Pop Douglas was not talking to the media. And then today, when he finally did speak, they asked him, you think you're getting used to your full potential? He said, last year I was, implying that this year he's not. And that this year he doesn't like the way the offense is running. He seems pretty upset about it. And part of me likes the fact that he wants to get the ball more. Another part of me, though, is like, hey, you're a second-year receiver. You were a sixth-round pick. You were pretty good last year. No one's going to mistake you for for Justin Jefferson, but you had like a decent little year last year. And so far in this new offense, they're struggling to get you the ball. Chill out. It's week two, buddy. You know, maybe save the temper tantrums for a little bit later on. You're not some diva receiver that everybody looks at and goes, oh, man, this guy's going to hold out. But you know what? They got to pay him, or they got to get him the ball, or they got to do this, or they got to do that. No one thinks that about Pop Douglas.
Yeah, and you're supposed to probably kind of be a leader, I guess. Not really, but kind of in year two, because it's such a young group with no Kendrick Bourne active. KJ Osborne is new. There's not a lot of guys with much, you know, cachet or legacy here in New England. I would say he'd probably be one of the few people that would be looking to go back to last year's offense and Bill O'Brien and what they did last year. But it certainly worked. I think it's premature for him two games because as much as I remember practice field, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
And he knows he was getting targeted on the practice field. He knows he was a part of the offense on the practice field. Two games in to just kind of pop off, pun intended, is a little, it's a little weird. But that's what happens when you lose. That's
a little
what
entitled almost even, like, you know, like, yeah, that's like you're supposed to be getting the ball this much. Like, relax.
Yeah, like the pop ratio, like the Randy ratio with the Vikings back in the day. Like, who the heck are you? And if I got to tell you, if I were Jacoby Brissett, and we can kind of ask him about this, tiptoe through this, but if Pop Douglas was giving me any kind of
lip,
or I'd say you can
back sass,
pound sand.
Yeah.
I mean, I am under duress half the time, and you're going to bitch about not getting the football? Like, back off. I'm getting the crap kicked out of me. I'm getting hit. I'm getting...
Get out there and block.
Yeah, go do something. Yeah, bring some value to the team. At least I'm trying my ass off. I'm running for my life. So, no, that is not ideal. I'm surprised, too. Like, would you have seen this? If somebody had sort of asked me in August, you think Pop Douglas, if he doesn't get a few catches in the first 2 weeks, will go off? I'd be like, no, he doesn't seem like
absolutely
that kind of guy.
Not. I wouldn't have thought that, but no. I've never met the guy. I don't know what he's like. So, yeah, I mean, that's...
Well, but you've seen him. You've seen him talk. You've seen the energy. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to all the press conferences. I've seen him interact with teammates. If you had said, is there anybody that could do this, Javon Baker would certainly be the primary candidate.
Yeah, I'd
all
put him up there.
Kind of saw that. Mm-hmm. I don't know KJ Osborne, but as a veteran, I could see... Oh, this is my one chance. I'm finally out of sort of the shadow of Jefferson and Addison and those guys. I could see him doing it. Tyquan Thornton, I could see doing it just because of the pressure of this might be it for him.
Frustration.
You're kind of coming to the end of the road of opportunity. I would have not pegged Pop Douglas as the guy to be an issue. And I wonder if it'll be addressed. I wonder, you know, this it's a weird world for Mayo because I don't know where the organizational philosophy is anymore after we lived the Judon experience where – yeah, we want you to have opinions, and feel free to voice them publicly if you want. And then a couple days later, it's like, we'd prefer these things
get
be kept.
Get bleep out of here, And they shipped them out to Atlanta.
It's not productive for anybody. That's the one thing. It is absolutely not productive, so it's less than ideal for Pop Douglas the way he's handled it.
If they had traded for Brandon Ayuk, and he wasn't getting targeted in the first 2 weeks making $35 million, then you wouldn't have to say anything. Everybody else would be saying it for you. Hey, you got a good receiver here. Get on the ball.
Right.
Not people. I mean, obviously, the caller just now is saying get the ball to Douglas, and I think we'd all prefer they did, but not to the point we're going to be blowing up Jerod Mayo for it or even Alex Van Pelt. Like, it's a big offensive struggle here. It's not just Pop Douglas.
It's not just Pop Douglas. It's not just the passing game down the field. Like, no one's getting the ball.
Right.
Other than Hunter Henry, no one's getting the ball. They're throwing screens. They're throwing to the running backs. They're throwing to the tight ends a little bit. The receivers are not – this isn't a Pop problem. This isn't a you issue, Pop Douglas. It seems like the world revolves around you. It does not. This world revolves around right now Jacoby Brissett, who doesn't have protection, doesn't have the time to find guys, and maybe doesn't even have the scheme that is quite ready to hit its stride in terms of the passing game.
This is interesting.
Oh.
The injury report, because they didn't actually practice today, but if they had practiced today, here's your injury report. Your DMPs, Juwan Bentley. Left the game yesterday, shoulder.
Makes sense.
Vidarian Lowe, dealing with a problem in his
banged
knee.
Banged up.
City So.
God forbid, play the sounder.
David Andrews.
That's not great.
David Andrews with a hip would have been a DNP today. Now,
so.
Now you got my attention because, listen,
FanDuel right? app being opened as we speak to look at what the number is for the Jets.
I'm wondering about that myself. If yeah. David Andrews can't go and Vidarian Lowe, and I can't believe I'm even putting those two in the same sentence like this, but if it's a backup center, I don't even know, your third tackle, they're going to have to activate someone off the practice squad if Lowe can't go. Or maybe the rookie
Wallace.
Goes out there and play Wallace plays, but then someone's got to be your swing tackle. It's going to have to be one of these other guys. City So already out. I mean, if David Andrews can't play, I'm sorry, but forget about the running game. Not forget about it completely because I still think Stevenson can do something here, but if you don't have Andrews out there blocking up the middle, that changes your running game considerably. All of a sudden, you're not as confident in it, and you're not pushing forward as much as you might think so. Limited, by the way, Anthony Jennings, Marcus Jones, Onwenu, Jabril Peppers.
Are they going to have a line?
Laydon Robinson was limited, and Dietrich Wise was limited as well.
So every offensive lineman is hurt.
Everybody's got something, yes, except for
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Michael
yeah.
B. Jordan is not hurt.
He's the only one. The guard. Guard, Michael Jordan.
Guys, by the way, I put those jokes to bed. We're done with those. Week two, it's like, you know, how long can you say Happy New Year? We've reached the point. No more Happy New Year.
No more Michael Jordan.
No more Michael Jordan jokes. I just definitely laid the 6.5 points for the Jets on
Thursday
night.
Okay, well, there you go. Listen, Andrews may play. I mean, it's just a DNP, but you don't even really get to practice. They're going to have a walkthrough tomorrow, and then they go, and that's
they
it.
They travel
right?
on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. No, that's a debacle.
Yeah.
The offensive, how did Gerard put it? Shaky at best? Or
average at best.
Average at best.
Average at best.
And now.
Now David Andrews is not average.
No, and we saw in the preseason, whenever there was a backup center in practice or preseason games, chaos ensued. It was terrible. They couldn't snap the ball.
You're right.
No, like. They
Didn't
couldn't
matter.
Snap the ball.
The ball was going flying.
We got other teams that somehow snapped the ball with vomit on it. The guy vomits on the ball, and he can snap it and get it to the quarterback. We, clean ball, clean everything, and we can't do it. So
I wouldn't say it was a clean ball.
you know what I mean. But, no, this is not good.
No, it's not. Again, if you missed it, the Patriots did not practice today, but if they had practiced, David Andrews, Vidarian Lowe, Juwan Bentley, City So, and O'Shane Jimenez all would have been DMPs. I know that last one really hits hard. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're hoping to talk with Jacoby Brissett. 5:30 is the tentative
Wait,
time.
Wait, he's not on there?
If he's not on there.
At all?
No sign of him anywhere. No sign of him on this list. Cadlick tweeted it out, and I don't see Jacoby Brissett either a DMP or limited. He would have
I watched the game. He got the snot kicked out of him. Things hurt.
I would imagine he's not feeling great. But he is a full participant, or at least they want the projected he is a full participant,
yeah.
And would not have been limited in practice today if they had one. It's a hypothetical practice, so it's hard to, you know.
Or they don't want the Jets to know that Drake May is starting until the last possible minute, so they can, by God, that's Drake May's music.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. That'd be something. But they're quaking in their boots, in their gangrene boots over there. 617-779-7937. Well, if there's no offensive line to protect them, I don't think they're too worried about it.
Run, Drake, run!
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Stiz is going to get you caught up on what's trending, and then hopefully we'll be talking.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
With Jacoby Brissett. All right, not a fancy team, according to both Gerard Mayo and Reba McEntire. By the way, you know, you probably don't know this, but Reba, the sitcom, did you ever watch that?
Yeah.
It's like Adam Jones' favorite show.
What?
Like, he loves that show.
Legitimately?
Ask him about it sometime. He DVRs it. He, like, watches it. Yeah, he's a big, big, big Reba fan.
That's weird.
I'd never seen a single second of that show in my life. But apparently, he tells
me
it's good.
It was a cheesy sitcom.
I trust his taste on some things, not everything.
I wouldn't.
But when it came to, like, TV shows and movie things like that, we tend to, you know, be into the same kind of stuff. He's really into Reba. And I said I'd give it a chance, but I never did.
What do you mean, really into Reba?
Really into the sitcom.
Oh, so not like Reba herself.
I don't think he's a big
doesn't
fan
have
of
like
music,
some weird
no. big
hot,
redhead thing.
Like yeah, like he got a thing for her.
I mean, he might.
I bet you he does. We all do. We have those random ones.
Oh, totally.
What's yours?
Got a few. there's all sorts of different ones. It'd take forever just to even get through them. But either way.
I have one that's NFL related that people found out about at one point, and then people, I think, told her, and it was awkward.
Oh.
I can't tell you.
That's kind of why I'm not on the giving an answer right now, is for that exact reason. But anyway, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. But that drive, that touchdown drive, was a pretty well-rounded drive. They were picking up yards on the ground. Hunter Henry had a couple of big chunk plays. And then you get a touchdown to one of your wide receivers, one of three catches any wide receiver made the entire game. But that was the second drive of the game, and I was watching that going, wait a minute. Do we have a passing attack? Does this team actually have a passing attack? They unlocked Hunter Henry, and here's Jalen Polk getting open in the end zone. And not just that, but Jacoby Brissett saw him and hit him in stride, a perfect throw. It wasn't the throw of the year or anything, but that was a very competent drive, and then it just, that was it. I mean, you didn't really see too much more. You saw Henry again, but you didn't really see anything else go beyond just the scope of Hunter Henry, the tight end, and picking up some yards on the ground. That pretty much is what they resorted to. It was like a factory reset for the rest of the game, and when that stopped working, the offense was dead.
Yeah, that play, I was like you. I was like, wait a minute. That looked normal. That looked like an NFL team with a quarterback and a receiver, and you didn't have to scramble around, move around, do anything. You just drop back. You hit a guy back of the end zone, touchdown, make it look easy. That was easy button. That you press the damn easy button on that. And I think specifically because it was Polk, who there's some people that believe might be building something, might have a real bright future, could be a mainstay offensive guy moving forward. Like, okay, you get him involved, because there was talk about, oh, Polk was open last week, and you just got to get him the football, and now he's open in the end zone, and you got him the football. Is this a sign of things to come? And it was not.
No.
It was the end of whatever was happening there.
They said, all right, you got your one catch, and that's it.
Right.
Don't expect any more.
And it was in the end zone, so you should celebrate. You got your little gift package from KJ Osborne's. You're done for the day. But the quote from, what do you think fancy means to him? Like, is Demario Douglas fancy? Is it fancy to get the slot receiver involved? Because I didn't think it was fancy when Julian Edelman was the centerpiece of the offense. It was actually kind of gritty in a way. He was getting the kicked out of him, but that was a part of, I wouldn't have called it fancy.
I consider the Dolphins a fancy offense.
Sure, you know, like, I agree.
I'm not asking for fancy. Legs and all sorts of crap like that, read options, things like that. Yep. That's sort of what I think of when I think
all
of fancy
those
offense.
Motions, fake motions, tear motions, screens, all these. No. I just, your slot receiver seems like he's pretty good sometimes. So I don't know anybody's asking for fancy. They're looking for almost just generic version of a passing game. An NFL passing game on the most generic level. Every once in a while, run some slants or some quick throws to the slot receiver. Hey, maybe take a chance every once in a while if you get a single high safety, somebody rolls up in the butt, whatever, go deep to Tyquan Thornton. I think that's all anyone's really asking. I don't think fans are greedy right now with the passing game. I think that play is a perfect example. You give them a couple of those a game, just plays where it looks like it's on script, as designed, what you wanted, and it works. I think a lot of fans would take that right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We are waiting, hopefully, on Jacoby Brissett to join us here in this segment. But in the event that he doesn't, let's go to the phones and talk to Matt in Rhode Island, who has a thought on the pass interference call in overtime. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Like,
what's up, Matt?
Andy, I was at Bishop Stang yesterday in your neck of the woods.
Nice.
Listening to the first app on Bluetooth. Swearing in the stands. Hopefully people didn't think I was swearing at the under-14 soccer game. But anyway, I just feel like when you turn on and make a play on the ball, I think it was a terrible call in that moment in overtime. I just think he's got as much right to the ball as the receiver. He didn't think it was a place because obviously they haven't been calling like touch fouls all game. So, secondly, go get DK Metcalf in the offseason and then keep drafting receivers. Thanks, guys.
All right. I'd love DK Metcalf. That'd be great.
I'd take DK.
Jonathan Jones, we talked to today, maintains that he doesn't think it was pass interference. There was certainly contact being made there.
Yes.
There was contact before the ball got there.
Yes.
They had hands on each other, which may have been sort of what he was trying to say, is that, you know, it was
consensual.
It was consensual horseplay, to borrow a phrase from Randy Moss there. But I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I'm watching the game, and there's, like, shadows starting to come over, and there's shadows on that part of the field. And I remember watching the play in real time, seeing the flag and thinking, Yeah, that looked like a penalty. But you know what? Maybe the shadows are playing tricks here. Maybe because you never see Jones get that upset. You never see him start yelling and screaming at the refs and making a whole big scene on the field. He's maybe you've seen it before, but like you rarely see that with him. He's not one of those type of guys. Like he doesn't make a big spectacle. And he was really hot about that one. And then he was so hot about it, he's talking about it after the game. He said he didn't get a call from the league yet, but maybe that's come since we talked to him. I don't know. But yeah, he also posted a picture on Instagram of him. Arm on the back of Lockett and one across his front knocking the ball away, and he says, well, as if, like, this is perfectly exonerating right here. And I looked at it, and I was like, where's your other hand?
Right.
I'm sorry. I thought it was pass interference. I did, and I didn't want it to be. Of course I didn't want it to be. I wanted the Patriots to win the game, and if that play had not happened, I think they'd probably get the ball back. But, like, that looked like pass. It looked like an obvious pass interference to me.
So, live, I had the same reaction. Oh, that's pass interference.
Yeah.
And I am not a defender of the referees. I generally rip them in all sports at all levels. I will say the review was a little less blatant than I thought it looked live.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just turning your head and having a quote-unquote right for the football does not give you the right to rip him, to
right.
pull him, to move him, to alter his ability to catch the football. And I thought there was some of that from Jonathan Jones. He did look at the ball, and he may have intended to play the ball, but I thought he kind of grabbed and pulled at the last minute because there was contact back and forth, contact back and forth.
Yeah.
And then I thought at the point when the ball's in the air, he kind of had the last contact. So I actually think it was pass interference. I do.
I think it was, too. And it may not have been as flagrant as that one in the Chiefs game on Rashee Rice that got them in the field goal
right.
range where the safety came up and just smacked them in the back of the head. But it looked like there was some holding or something going on there. And, you know, it's a play that gets called most of the time. I mean, listen, like if you throw a ball up like that one-on-one coverage and there's any sort of idea that the wide receiver has to get out of your grasp, you're going to get a flag there.
Where do you come in You can't, in that situation, you can't call that kind of mentality.
I don't think that was one of those type of plays.
No, and
I
know we talk about, in the Super Bowl, put the flags away or don't decide the game, but either way, you're deciding the game. If
right.
If you think it's pass interference and you don't call it, well, then to some extent, you've decided the game, right? Like you've made a call that mm-hmm. you or didn't make a call that you would have previously made. Like the Chiefs game could have been the same thing. Oh, you can't call that. Well, you can. It's pass interference.
Right.
And
if it wasn't called, I bet you the Seahawks, Lockett and the Seahawks would have probably been like, I can't believe they didn't call it.
Maybe not Lockett, because he apparently told Jones that it wasn't a
well,
call
that's
there.
What,
but
that's
Mike
what,
McDonald
that's what
and his coaches, right, are probably calling for that. Or
oh,
other
by
players.
The way, we have to set the record straight on something.
Uh-oh.
Because this morning.
What'd I do?
Not you. Gerard Mayo said that, or it was implied that the ref said that there wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, and that's...
Right? Was that a question from one of the guys or something? And then
yeah.
Mayo answered it in a sort of an awkward way.
In a weird way.
Don't worry about getting the sound here, Stiz, because we did not prepare you for this at all. But
no.
This morning, there was a question about that play and Jones, and I think maybe the question was misasked. It was in the sense of like, all right, you know, Lockett said it wasn't a penalty, but instead he said, hey, you hear the ref said it wasn't a penalty. The ref
right.
obviously said it was a penalty.
Right.
If there was a ref that said it wasn't, then they would have huddled together and either overturned
picked up
it
the flag.
There is no penalty
on the play.
Right. But yeah, it was Lockett who said to him, yeah, that's not a penalty. And Jones reiterated that to us when he talked to us earlier today.
And Lockett has no say.
I have what Jones said about it if you want it.
All right, yeah, let's replay Jonathan Jones here.
Without getting fined, I would like someone from the officiating office at NFL to show kind of where the penalty was. You know, overtime, I don't feel like that's a penalty. The receiver acknowledged that that wasn't a penalty. So at that point, you know, it's out of my hands. He's got the flag to throw it. He threw it.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice that Lockett said that, but it's not up to him. It's not.
Right.
You know, like he can say anything at that point. It doesn't really matter. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's try James, who is in Florida, who has an interesting thought on who should start on Thursday night. Go ahead, James.
I want to start Joe Milton. Jacoby Brissett is too old, and he got too beat up, and Drake May is too valuable, and the offensive line is terrible. There's no fullbacks to guard the blind side. Send Joe Milton out there and let him run around and make plays.
Okay, thanks for the call, James. Joe Milton.
He didn't do a terrible job articulating his reasoning.
Yeah. That wasn't terrible. James was in Dover, by the way, not in Florida. That was not. I mean, listen, if you have him on the roster, you can make the argument this is the perfect time to use him, right?
It's disrespectful.
A short week. It's definitely a short week, and it's definitely disrespectful. But you, Brissett, you say is banged up. and you're not ready, you're not far along enough along in the process with Drake May to feel comfortable putting out him out there on a short week. So you feed Joe Milton to the Wolves. I mean, that's basically what you'd be doing.
How would you explain it, since both Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf are both on the record saying that Drake May is the backup quarterback, and if Jacoby gets hurt, Drake May will play?
Well, you just have to say we changed their mind.
Conditions.
Why are you bringing up old stuff? why have to go ahead and?
What are you, my wife?
And throw
why are you saying what I said 2 weeks ago? Things have changed.
Back in my face. It's a NFL football team. I can't predict the future. Like, I don't know.
And it would be a debacle.
It would be ugly, I think.
Although he was the scout team player, one of the scout team players of the week for
week
one.
Yeah, he got like a special jersey.
Yeah, black jersey for the job he did. Mm-hmm. Playing Joe Burrow and getting everybody ready for the Bengals.
Yeah.
So if he's as good as Joe Burrow, then he's ready to play.
You would think.
Logic.
A couple of things that worked in the second half, or that worked in the first half, did not work in the second half. Among them, going to Hunter Henry. I mean, that well dried up pretty quickly. Other than that, did you notice any sort of big shifts that happened? Because it seemed like the Seahawks were very, very in tune with the adjustments they had to make.
Well, I didn't necessarily notice it, but I really took note that Jacoby Brissett brought up the idea they seemed to have a tell on our shot plays when we were going to take
like
a shot.
Like when Sony Michel was lined up at running back and they're like, I bet they're running the ball.
Yeah. That's concerning. Because I don't like, you're tipping pitches or whatever. Because you're not that good at it.
Right.
And you're not going to do it that often. And if the other team knows the couple times you're doing it, that's really bad. And it's a bad look, I feel like, for the operation, to use the type of word they would use, whether it's play calling, personnel, something, it's a bad look. And you're not good enough probably to take some of those shots just based on pure talent. You're probably counting on catching the defense offside, right? A little bit off guard.
Yeah.
And if they saw something that had them ready to go, that's not good for the potential for that group to break out and those plays to become a little bit more fruitful.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I don't love Mayo every turn talking and crowing about how, we're going to run the ball, we're going to run it down your throat, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they go out and do it, and it's like, you're not good enough to be do it. Like, I remember when the Steelers,
nobody is,
with Dick LeBeau, used to come out and they do the same defense every week, no matter who it was, and that was their defense, and you stop it if you could.
Tom Brady ate it up.
Brady would come out there and shred them to pieces because he could figure it out, but that was sort of their thing, and they were a good team, and LeBeau was a good defensive coordinator back then, but like that was a very predictable thing, and a good team can take advantage of that. I feel like Jerod Mayo sort of set his team up for this, but they're a one-dimensional team, and he's basically broadcast that all throughout the NFL.
Right, and his quote today was, you want to ping pong back and forth between the passing game and the run game. Right now, they're playing ping pong with no partner, right? They kind of ping, and they hit it across the table, and it just goes off the table. Well, I guess I got to get a new ball. Ping, hit it again. It never gets returned. There's no ping ponging. I don't know how fixable it is. Like, that's the other thing. He is optimistic, and we've praised him for being optimistic in certain areas, and when some of those things came to fruition in the opener, it was like, okay, it's his team. He sees more from his team than we do and knows his team better than we do. Now, in regards to the offensive line and regards to getting the ball down the field, I think he might be a little pie in the sky optimistic about his team.
Yeah, you're probably right. And listen, they're going to have to figure something out quick. Because, you're going up against the Jets team that can run the ball and throw the ball. You're going up
in
against...
Theory. They haven't been great.
They haven't been great, I agree. But they have the personnel and talent, I would say, to do that. At quarterback, at running back, at wide receiver, like they're... Compared to you, anyway, a much more well-balanced offense.
Or compared
certainly
to Seattle.
A better passing attack, better than, well,
more
I don't
balanced.
Know about that.
Oh, absolutely.
More
with
balanced,
Breece Hall?
Yes, because
and this other, who's this other guy that was the waiver wire pickup? Allen? Braden Allen or something like that? What was the guy's name?
On the
Jets? They had another running back who contributed this week, had a long touchdown.
Okay.
So they're definitely more balanced than Seattle with the ability with Breece Hall, even though he hasn't been great.
Braylon Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have two running backs that have impacted the game early. Garrett Wilson at time.
Braylon and Breece. That doesn't sound like two football players. I don't know.
No, but they can play. And
yeah,
they're better than what Charbonnet or whatever the hell his name is was for the Seahawks on Sunday.
Sure, and I agree. I mean, I don't think their passing attack is quite the same, but Aaron Rodgers is a lot better than Geno Smith, and he's going to be the one delivering the ball. So,
that's what Aaron Rodgers has been a little pocket-heavy stiff in his first couple of weeks.
Yeah, he has been a little maybe.
I don't think these Achilles are
to get out there.
Like the easiest thing to come back from. I think you're seeing with Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, we may see Kirk Cousins tonight that at the age of, 30-plus years old, to just come back as quickly as these guys think they can come back, Remember, the guys looked different back in the day. Marino looked different after he had his.
Yep.
Vinny Testaverde looked different after he had his. They moved differently. It never, I don't know if it's the elasticity or the flexibility or whatever. And so we'll see if Rodgers is, Geno Smith is still kind of in the prime of his career.
Yeah, kind of.
Youthful.
It's the second wave of his career.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, I'm not comparing the overall careers or talents of Aaron Rodgers and Geno Smith, but I think you might make an argument that right now Geno Smith is a more mobile and capable athlete at the quarterback position.
Maybe. We'll see.
That may seem stupid after tonight. After Thursday night, Aaron Rodgers may dice you up for like 400 yards.
That could happen.
Rule that out.
Geno Smith, 2-0. Rodgers, 1-1.
Okay.
Just saying.
Who's got a better chance to make the playoffs?
I'd say they're about even. I think those two teams are about even. I think that the Jets are going to be either a second or a third place team here in the East, and that the same thing with the Seahawks.
Who's got a better chance to make the Super Bowl?
Probably the Seahawks, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I think the Jets, there's too many good teams in the AFC to
you
get
you should
that.
Have seen Brian's face behind
the,
him.
I think the AFC's generally better than the NFC.
Yeah, but the Seahawks aren't that good.
I don't think they're that good. I don't think the Jets are that good
I think
either,
the Jets' upside is far more significant.
If they're both, if they're on the same sort of trajectory right now, between the two of them, who has a better chance to get to the Super Bowl, if you're going through the NFC gauntlet versus the AFC, I'd go with the NFC team every time.
No, but not the trajectory right now. I think if the Jets live up to their talent potential, they have the potential to be an elite football team. They have it in, they have studs all over offense and deep. Remember when Bill was gushing about their talent? That was real. They are a talented team.
We're talking about the hypothetical Jets, sure. I'm talking about the Jets right now that we watched so far.
Well, neither of the teams right now, if they play the way they're playing, are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, Seahawks, if they keep playing like this, will go
playing like what? They should have lost to the Patriots on Sunday. The Patriots
but they
dagged the game away.
But they didn't. They
right
made
out
plays
here.
When they needed to. They blocked a field
did
goal.
Did they?
That was a big blocked field goal, I'd say.
The refs gifted it to them with a pass interference. It never happened.
I knew it. It took to the end of the show. I knew that was going to come out. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've been ghosted by Jacoby Brissett, folks. Sorry to break it to you, but I guess we'll have to talk with him later in the week. In the meantime, we'll continue with your phone calls and wrap things up next here on WEEI. Afternoon. All right, we're back here, WEEI Afternoons. We are live from Gillette Stadium here on this Patriots Monday, and joining us right now on the phone is quarterback Jacoby Brissett. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. Jacoby, do we have you?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, very good. Speaking of men's health, how you feeling? You took a couple of pops in that game. I know we asked you the same question last week. Looked like after that Leonard Williams sack in particular, you were you're reaching down for the leg there. How's everything feeling today?
I feel good. Obviously a couple routines post game soreness, but overall feel healthy.
So we saw you early in the game have to use your legs again, but this time more to sort of scramble to throw the ball. Got a nice connection going with Hunter Henry. How do you think that played out? I know it's not ideal necessarily, but do you feel like you handled some of that early pressure well and were able to make the best of it?
Yeah, definitely. It's like you said, it's definitely not ideal, but having that ability to extend plays and obviously try to work on keeping my eyes down the field to keep guys down the field and in sight. I think it went well. Obviously, being able to connect with Hunter, he made a lot of good plays in the scramble rule aspect of the game. And like you said, it's definitely not ideal, but having that ability definitely helps.
Was that part of the game plan going into the installation of the offense this week, going to Hunter a lot, or was that something that just sort of made itself available as the game went on, and that you just kept sort of going back to?
I think a little mixture of both. We definitely thought we had a favorable matchup with Hunter with a lot of the guys that were going to cover him. And we definitely tried to exploit it. And then, throughout the game, a lot of it just, happened organically. And, I think he made a lot of good plays yesterday. And, it was definitely a good day for him.
Watching practices this summer, there were two guys that you seemed to go to a lot throughout many days of practice. And it was Hunter Henry and Pop Douglas. Obviously, Hunter Henry, you continue to do that on the game field. Haven't been able to get DeMario Douglas involved with the offense. No targets yesterday. Is that scheme? Is that you not having time to find him? Why haven't you guys been able to hook up?
It's something that we're working on, that's for sure. He's a dynamic player. And me as a quarterback, obviously, has to find ways to get him the ball. But it's definitely something that we're looking at. I don't want to get into the overreaction thing about why is this this or that not happening. It's the second game of the season, but it's definitely got to find ways to get him the ball. You know, he's that good of a player that, you know, we honestly got to find a way to get a lot of our skilled players the ball and get them more involved in the game. So yeah, I think that I got to take responsibility for that.
So Douglas has expressed a little frustration with not getting targets, getting the ball, and I'm sure you've dealt with that at some point over your career with other wide receivers. How does that go when a receiver is frustrated not getting the ball, talking to you, talking to the coordinator? How does that play out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's frustrated. If he wasn't, that would be it would be more alarming than him not getting the ball, to be honest with you. But you know, you just explain it to him, man. It's you're gonna have those games where it happens like that. But you know, like I said, it's the second game of the year. You know, we're still trying to figure out our identity and you know how this thing's gonna play out as far as the offense. So you know, it's a long season ahead. I told him, man, it's 15 games left. You know. Right, I think we play 17 games now, so 15 games left, man. It's a lot of football left ahead of us. You know, obviously, you know, we're still getting better. You know, as a whole, individually, as an offense, you know. So, I'm glad that he's frustrated, but you know, obviously, you got to use the frustration towards the right way.
What type of adjustments did Seattle make that you noticed out there in the second half? Because it seemed like you were doing a lot more of what you wanted to do in the first half on that touchdown drive, a nice mixture of passing and running, and then in the second half it seemed like they made it a lot tougher. What did they do differently that maybe got you guys sort of thrown off a little bit?
I think we just hit a lull, man. It was weird because I thought we were having some good plays. I mean, obviously we went three and out a couple times, which is definitely not ideal, putting our defense back out on the field, you know, but I think we kind of just hit a lull, and I know we had like a lot of – when we go back and watch film, I know it's obviously like a lot of people that watch the game don't understand the scheme and things like that. We had a lot of self-inflicting things to where, you know, we kind of put ourselves behind on the eight ball, and then I think we made it more tough on ourselves than I would say them, to be honest with you.
With a short week coming up here, obviously you have to compartmentalize everything and kind of speed up the process of preparing for a good defense in the New York Jets. What do you feel like you personally have to do to get this passing game off the ground?
No, I mean, we got to stay true to what we know, you know, and just play our style of football, you know, and those plays are going to happen, you know, organically. You know, we obviously, like I said, we obviously got to get our receivers and our passing game more involved, but I think you know, it's just staying within ourselves, staying within the plan, not trying to go outside the ordinary and do like anything that, you know, we haven't done on the practice field. And then I think the passing game will start to eventually, you know, start to open up a lot. You know, it's definitely something that we're obviously, you know, trying to address, but and I think it'll come.
You mentioned post game that you almost felt like they had a tell when you guys were going to take some shot plays. They went to two deep safeties. Did you, after watching the film, talking it over with the coaches, did you kind of figure that out? Were they just lucky and guessing well, or what was that all about?
I think it was a mixture of both. You know, I think they understood what we were trying to do when we got into certain sets, you know, because every team tries to do the same thing versus them. They brought a couple different blitzes that kind of ties you up to where you can't, you know, really push the ball down the field versus them. And I think that was really it. I think they got lucky more than anything else, to be honest with you.
This time for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This comes to us from James in Sudbury, and he asked Jacoby, how would you characterize your relationship with your wide receivers?
I think it's good. You know, a lot of those guys I talk to on a regular outside are just football things. So I would say it's good.
One of the plays that has gotten a lot of attention today was the third down sack before the field goal, which then unfortunately ends up getting blocked. You watch it on film and you were under some pretty immediate pressure. When you watch that, is there anything you could have done differently to avoid the sack there?
I mean, I want to try to throw it away. I think that's probably the best answer. Yeah, try to throw the ball away.
Looking back on it now, obviously there was a couple of opportunities for you guys there with that play in particular, and you know, to see a kick get blocked like that, obviously must have been tough to watch from the sidelines. Were there other plays that you sort of looked at? You kind of hinted at this a minute ago. Were there other plays you looked at that you think, man, if we had just been able to convert this or that or something? Was there another point in the game where you felt that way?
For sure. I mean, anytime, whether you win or you lose, there's always a couple of plays here and there that you always want back. And I think obviously when you lose a game, everything's kind of get like it's under a different microscope. But it definitely was a couple more plays that I know as a group we wanted back. And, you know, we look back at that film, it's just like locking in those crucial situations to, you know, to execute a little bit better.
Would one of those be the fourth down in overtime? I know there was some question as to whether a team that, you know, prides itself on running the football and how well you've run the football maybe would go for it on fourth and one there in overtime. Were you hopeful of that? Did you expect that? Did you understand the decision? I know you don't get to make those decisions, but what was your view of that fourth and one decision?
Which one are you talking about again? Sorry.
Before, fourth and one in overtime?
In overtime, fourth and one, after you guys had the third and one and then the penalty. And, you know, a lot of fans felt like that was an opportunity for a team that runs the ball really well to sort of establish its identity. Instead, you punt it away and unfortunately never get the ball back.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't make those calls. I think that's more of a Mayo question and those guys' questions than it is mine.
All right. Before we let you go here, Jacoby, it was the first game. You weren't here last year, so you don't know this or maybe don't remember it. But the team had a very, very tough time playing at home at Gillette, going 1-7. How was the crowd yesterday, and how was the general atmosphere here at Gillette Stadium?
I thought it was good. I thought it was sweet. You know, a lot of people were there. You know, the fans were rocking, obviously. You know, you heard them a lot, obviously, when the defense had the ball, which is a good thing. But it was definitely a great turnout. You know, no, obviously didn't get the outcome that we wanted, but, you know, looking forward to the stadium being packed more games and obviously being on the other side. You know, we brought it down to the wire, but, you know, you've got to get on the other side of those type of games.
All right, thanks, Jacoby. That was a tough one. I know you took a little bit of a beating, and I know you got a short week here and a lot of work to do. So good luck getting things together for Thursday night.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Jacoby Brissett, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. That is all the time we have here for the entire show. Patriots Monday in the books, and we will hand things over now to, who is it? We got KJ and Lyons, and they'll be taking you up until Monday Night Football, which we'll be carrying on these airwaves as well with the Westwood One broadcast. I want to say thanks to Jonathan Jones. Thanks to Jacoby Brissett. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.